is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and right now you're going to be hearing the views of Mitchell Wright, and we're going to be talking with he and his wife, Michelle, about what's going on in the church today. Everything is really changing. Have you noticed that so many of the churches today, they don't sing the old hymns any longer? Why don't they? Well, now they have these modern songs that are repetitious, and you sing the same words over and over and over again. And, of course, this has a hypnotic effect and really opens you up to satanic delusion and satanic obsession. But that couldn't be happening in our churches, could it? And I would like to suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that there are people who really believe the scriptures that says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But, of course, they do not want liberty. They want an authoritarian dictatorship in our country. And so they want to destroy the Spirit of the Lord. And, of course, if you're going to try to destroy Christianity, how would you go about doing it? Well, you certainly wouldn't do it from without, although you could attack Christianity, but that usually only tends to strengthen it. No, what you would do would be to infiltrate Christianity from within, and that is exactly what is happening in America today. Let's see now, do we have Mitchell or do we have Michelle on the line?
This is Mitchell.
All right, fine. Is Michelle there?
She is. She's talking to your producer.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, Mitchell, why don't you tell our listeners how you and your wife got involved in studying this influence within the church?
Well, actually, what happened is I was a parent volunteer in our school's administration as far as doing curriculum review. And we were reviewing sex ed curriculum and other curriculums that were coming into the school district and being proposed by the administration for the children. We were somewhat set back by some of the values and beliefs that were in these curriculums, and so we got really involved and found ourselves at odds with the administration of many of these curriculums that were being handed down. We originally believed that this was a local issue, but as time went by, we discovered that it not only was a local issue, but it was actually coming from the state superintendent of public instruction.
Now, what state do you live in?
That was Washington State at the time. We currently live in Idaho.
All right, fine.
And then after a while, we discovered that it wasn't just coming down from the state level. It was actually coming down from the national level. If you recall, in 1979, under President Jimmy Carter, the Department of Education was elevated to a cabinet-level position for the first time in history. And so here we were back in 1986-87, just 6, 7, 8 years later, and we had a lot of curriculum and programs that were coming down from a national level.
And, of course, that was under the time of the Reagan administration, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
And, of course, Ronald Reagan had promised the American people he would do away with the Department of Education. He could have done it at any time by simply an executive order. And, you know, he never did that. He always said exactly what we wanted to hear, and then he'd do just the opposite. And he got credit from both sides.
That's really interesting because Vice President Bush, that's George Bush Sr., he was running for president in 1986 and 87 in Reagan's second term in office. And he would always put his fingers up to each side of his head, like quotation marks, and he'd say, "I want to be known as the education president." and he was charged, along with Chester W. Finn, who was out of or connected with a think tank in Colorado called the William Spady Foundation, to come up with educational exchanges through UNESCO, which is the educational arm of the United Nations. And they were to go out and have these educational exchanges worldwide.
And no, they're going to have with the communists over in Russia. Why would we want to have education exchanges with the communists? What would they have to offer our children? Or maybe that's what it was all about. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mitchell Wright and his wife, Michelle Wright, are on the line. And we're going to be talking about the influence of the New Age and these occult ideas within our educational system. Mitchell and Michelle got started, I guess it was in the state of Washington initially, at the local school level. It was certainly going over some of the new ideas that were coming into the school in the way of sex education and this general effort to break down the moral beliefs of our kids and dumb them on down and take away their ability to have understand mathematics. They call it the new mathematics, and understand how to read. They have old way of progressive reading now. Well, we end up with the kids who already can't read. They can't sound out words. They can't spell. And, you know, they call it creative spelling now. It doesn't really matter how you spell it, but how do you feel about what you've written? Well, basically, as Mitchell and Michelle began looking into what was happening in the educational system, and this, of course, would have been during the Reagan years, 85, 86, 87, and, of course, George Bush was, George Herbert Walker Bush was running for the presidency at that time. And you have to, and of course, he was talking about how he was going to be the education president. George Bush, pardon me, Ronald Reagan was promising us he was going to do away with the Department of Education. He kept making that promise. He could have done it any day he wanted to, and he absolutely refused to do away with the Department of Education, which was one of his cabinet posts, and he could have eliminated it in the same way that Jimmy Carter created it. So he got credit for the conservatives because he was against federal control of education. He got credit from the liberals because he supported federal control of education. That's a pretty good deal. I think probably one of the greatest actors of all time was President Ronald Reagan. Go right ahead, Mitchell, and pick up the story, and then we'll get to your wife, Michelle, in just a moment.
Okay, well, we were talking about how George Bush and Chester W. Finn, who was connected with a think tank in Colorado called the William Spady Foundation, instituted these educational exchanges. And what they brought back from abroad was outcome-based education. And outcome-based education is basically a system whereby governments can bring large masses of people along to a desired outcome without having to use force.
And then basically what you're going to do is brainwash the kids.
Yes.
Okay.
And so the different organizations were created, New Horizons for Learning, the New American Schools Development Corporation, and these were precursors to what became, under George Bush when he became president, America 2000, educational goals for the 21st century.
And, of course, after that, of course, we go on to other names, and now we have No Child Left Behind, but it's basically all the same program, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It went on to become Goals 2000 when Clinton became president.
Yeah. And then there was... Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney and Mitchell is simply talking about what's happening in education and how, of course, under the Reagan administration, they came out with outcome-based education, and then they went into Goals 2000, and then they went into, eventually No Child Left Behind. These are all federal programs aimed at dumbing down our children and remolding their outlook as far as God and family and country, because if you have a federal program, it's much easier to control every child in the country than it is, of course, if you have 50 independent states and you've got to control 50 boards of education. You have centralized control, you have centralized program, you have centralized indoctrination, you have centralized destruction of the belief in God and family and country. So go ahead and pick up the story there, Mitchell, and then we'll get to Michelle.
Okay, well, after Goals 2000 and President Clinton, we had to, as you said, federalize the educational processes, and so different laws were enacted, H.R. 6, the School to Work Bill, the All Children Will Learn, the No Child Left Behind Act, and no child means no child, and this includes private and homeschoolers as well. And there's different programs that Michelle can articulate that go back to William Bennett, who was the education czar under President Reagan.
Well, that great conservative, Book of Values, that was his book, Book of Moral Values. He's the guy who lost $8 million gambling.
Yeah.
You'd think that people would begin to see the hypocrisy, but they really don't.
All of these educational programs and developments followed a particular pattern, and these patterns go back to what is called general systems theory or systems analysis. And general systems theory was founded by a fellow by the name of Ludwig von Berlinghoff, and it was put into practice for the first time by William Deming and also by Peter Drucker after World War II. And essentially what those two individuals did is they utilized these general systems theories, or TQM as Peter Drucker developed it, that's called Total Quality Management System. And they were credited with turning the Japanese war economy around after it was shattered at the end of World War II. And for those of your listeners that are old enough to remember the Japanese imports in the 1950s and 60s, the cheap transistor radios and all the various goods that we saw flooding into the American market, little did we know that in another decade or two that they'd get pretty sharp at making things and give us a run for our money, making cars and all kinds of things and becoming major competitors. The American industry initially turned down Peter Drucker's offer to institute TQM models in their businesses, but eventually they accepted his offer. It also went into government and went into medicine. And then in 1980, Marilyn Ferguson, who was a New Ager, she wrote a book called Aquarian Conspiracy, and she talked about how education and the church would be the last two pillars of American society that would bow down and fall to these systems. And this change in new age or new thought or new spirituality. And so education pretty much went in the late 1980s and early 1990s. We all thought the new age died out in the 60s and 70s with the hippie movement. But what happened is the hippies put on ties and coats and they became mainstream.
And, of course, Peter Drucker's influence, it was, of course, this total quality management. First of all, of course, it was within... corporate and manufacturing, then it went into the schools, and then it went into our churches. And, of course, Peter Drucker is the guru of the church growth movement, which controls the majority of the churches, evangelical and even many of the Christian churches right here in America. Never forget the name Peter Drucker, because he's one of the arch enemies of individual freedom. He's a collectivist, but his ideas work, and they've worked very, very successfully. To undermine education, to undermine Christianity, and, of course, to make our corporations work more efficiently. Go right ahead.
Well, if you listen to Peter Drucker's TQM model, and he talks a lot about his three-legged stool, the political, the economic, and the social all coming together in order to change society. And Alice Bailey, a New Age occult writer, wrote in a book called Education for the New Age, that children would also be taught to think in terms of world relationships and of their nation and its relation to other nations.
No, because she didn't really write those books. They were channeled by a demonic spirit. She openly admitted it was called Joao Cool. All of her books were channeled. So these are basically the ideas that are coming out from the other spiritual dimension. But go right ahead.
Well, and that's exactly right. And this covers training for citizenship, for parenthood, and for world understanding. And it's basically a psychological way of conveying a different understanding of humanity. And it has to do with world citizenship as an expression of both goodwill and understanding. And it should be the goal of the enlightened everywhere and the hallmark of spiritual man. And in these three, you have right relations established between education, religion, and politics. And that was on page 91 of her book, Education for a New Age.
And what people don't really understand is that the common denominator of either the New Age or the Masons or the Rosicrucians or the Theosophists or the ancient mystery religions going back 5,000 years has to been to bring about this new world order or one world government that certainly George Bush popularized, in 1990 when he talked about the new world order and his son is bringing about today. Go right ahead.
Well, the reason I read that little excerpt out of her book is because when she talks about the relationship of education, religion, and politics, that's a perfect fit into Peter Drucker's three-legged stool
right.
model of TQM, which is based out of general systems theory. And this is what's driving our churches today. As I began to say earlier, we thought the New Age died out in the late 60s and early 70s, but the hippie culture put on ties and coats. They became mainstream, and the New Age became New Thought. Then it became New Spirituality, and it tied itself to the coattails of the new evangelical church that was arising on the ashes of the demise of the old mainline Protestant and Catholic denominations. And you mentioned church growth and seeker-sensitive churches, and that's exactly what this is all about. And the general systems theory was transferred from education in over to the church, and actually it was going on at the same time. Michelle can really talk, I think, more specifically about some of these issues than I can.
All right, why don't we go to Michelle. Hi, Michelle. How are you doing?
Hi there, Dr. Stan.
Doing fine. You just speak up a little bit. Don't be bashful.
Okay. Well, what we found when we were looking into the education reform issues was that
Michelle, we have an echo. Do you have a radio or something turned on?
I'm going to hang up while she's talking, and I'll pick it up.
All right, fine. Go ahead. Go ahead.
What we found out was that there was quite a few New Age connections to the education reform right in our own school district. I had teachers that were appalled, and they would give me documents and whatnot when I'd go to these restructuring meetings, and they would hand me stuff under the table because they were just appalled at what was going on.
In other words, they recognized that this educational system wasn't education. It was indoctrination in these new ideas.
Well, exactly, because on their handouts and whatnot, what they were doing was that they were going to be assessing attitudes, and instead of like educational bridge marks or whatever, they were going to be assessing attitudes, and so it was an affective type of educational thing instead of an effect.
Right.
And New Horizons for Learning was an organization, and I think it came out of Colorado, but it also tied in with schools in Washington State. And when we started going through some of the their material, up comes all this New Age stuff, all the New Age authors, all the New Age people, and we just started researching and connecting the dots, and we were just going, okay, why is this happening, and why do our kids have to be the guinea pigs? When they would show the different charts and whatnot, they would say, okay, we're going to implement this new change, and what's going to happen is that the assessments in your skills tests and your different testing type things will go down, and it shows this big graph, and then the dip in the graph, and that then in a few years, then everything will change and everything will get better, and the children will be learning, at such an accelerated rate. Well, the parents that are sitting in these meetings are thinking, why do my kids have to be the guinea pigs? And I want my kid to be a fifth grade education in fifth grade. I don't want him to have to go on and on and on before he gets this new learning. Well, this new learning was nothing more than a bunch of New Age stuff that was coming in, and we had documentation with the ties to the Aquarian Conspiracy, Marilyn Ferguson, and also Barbara Marx Hubbard, and it went on and on. In their own pamphlets and whatnot, they were advertising for New Age teachers. And so then what happened was we started having more and more questions, and we'd go to these meetings, we'd sit at a table, and we knew that there were different facilitators at the table because they had a predetermined outcome. And we knew that there was probably a mole at the table. And this process is used in city government. It's used in corporate type structures and whatnot, where you sit and you come to a consensus, and everybody at the table is supposed to give their input so that they will have ownership. Well, we got tired of these, games and whatnot, and we pulled our kids out of the public school system, and we ended up putting them into private schools. Well, pretty much to find out that the private schools that we did put our kids into, we were in three of them where we were. Well, they were into the same stuff, too, and we kept going into the office, and we would politely talk to the principal, and we'd say, hey, we fought this in the public school system, and now we've come to the Christian school, and this is the same stuff. And so sometimes they would, act concerned, Other times they would just say, you know, you're the first parent that's ever said this to me.
And, of course, that's a lie because that's what they say to every parent who comes in. You've learned how it works. Well, we're going to go to a break here, and we'll be back in just a moment with Mitchell and with Michelle Wright, talking about the infiltration of our schools. And what they're really after is the heart and the mind and the souls of our children. And unfortunately, they've turned most of them away from God. You go to Europe, why, of course, nobody goes to church over there anymore. And, well, a lot of people may be going to church now. A lot of people say they believe in God, but they believe in a different God. Until you understand that, so little of what's going on makes any sense. All right, Michelle, do you want to go on or should we go back to Mitchell?
Oh, this is Mitch. I'm on the phone.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
Okay, well, what I was talking about before Michelle went on, was the general systems theory. And one of the main tenets of this general systems theory is it's purpose-driven. It has a desired outcome. And they use a stimulus and they want a response. And this was something that was developed over a period of time by different educators. And Skinner and Benjamin Bloom, developed this system to get a desired outcome out of people. And so this general systems theory is being employed very much and very extensively, not only in the educational system, but also in the church. And one of the ways this is coming down is through a fellow by the name of Bob Buford, who founded Leadership Network, which is now called Leader to Leader Network. He used to run the Peter Drucker Foundation, and then he backed off and he started up the Leadership Network program. And in concert with Rick Warren and Bill Hybels and some of the other emergent purpose-driven church leaders, they're training legions of young pastors. I think they brag about 400,000 pastors being trained throughout America in this purpose-driven and emergent style of church.
And so basically it's the same thing that's happening in the churches that's happening in the schools.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, same system, same programs, same people are involved, the same practices, all based on this general systems theory that Peter Drucker took and developed his TQM models with. And well, that's what we're seeing in the churches today.
And, of course, the difficulty is that the average churchgoer has no idea what's going on. The average parent has no idea what's going on because Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and the others are certainly not going to tell the American people the truth. They're going to talk about all sorts of other things and interesting things and Hillary and Obama and a lot of humor in there, a lot of fascinating things. But as far as really understanding the philosophy, the average individual has no idea that there is a program, the general systems program, that is being utilized in industry, it's being used in education, it's being used in government, it's being used within the church today. Okay, fine. In fact, I think I'm going to ask my producer to go ahead and call you back on the other line because we get a lot better sound there than we do here off the cell phone. But you go right ahead for a moment or two until we get the other line in back in place. Go ahead.
Okay, well, another thing that is endemic to this general systems theory is the Hegelian dialectic, and it's a process of where you have a thesis, a belief system, and what you do is you cause agitation by proposing just the exact opposite of that, which is called the antithesis, and the intent is to get people to move off of their belief systems into what they call a synthesis or a compromise. In the church, this is called moving people from the traditional held beliefs that they had in fundamentalist Christianity, and you move them into a transitional phase, and then you eventually get them into what's called a transformational state. And so traditional, transitional, and transformational is the same as thesis, antithesis, and synthesis, which is a Hegelian dialectic. And these are processes that are used in socialist countries in order to bring large masses of people along without using force to a predetermined outcome, and that's what we talked about before.
And people really don't understand. They're simply playing games with their minds and with the minds of their children, but even the minds of the people in the church. Well, we're going to actually have my secretary call you back or my producer call you back on the other line, so because I want our listeners to get this in all the clarity we can. Hang on, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guests today are Mitchell and Michelle Wright. And they, of course, have been studying what's going on in the church for a long period of time, really started in looking into what was happening in our schools. And, of course, it just started out so subtly. People did not understand that there was an agenda there. And okay, let's get back and let's see if we have Mitchell or Michelle. Who do we have now?
Mitchell.
All right, fine. You go right ahead.
Well, we were talking about the Hegelian dialectic and actually what's happening with this Hegelian dialectic and this changing society over using this traditional, transitional, and transformational process. Utilizing the general systems theory is so all-encompassing it's almost impossible to explain to people in a short period of time. And when you begin to explain it, you lose them most of the time. But it's all about building a post-Christian society. And once the Christian consensus is bulldozed, the building of a secular society is possible. And this was stated in the Humanist Manifesto that was signed in 1973. And it stated that we deplore the division of mankind on nationalistic grounds. The best option is to transcend the limits of national sovereignty and to move toward the building of a world community. Thus, we look to the development of a system of world law and world order based on transnational federal government. This sounds a lot like Rick Warren's Global Peace Program, if you remember hearing about that.
Right.
And it's a purpose-driven model based in general systems theory. And the principles and the strategies are usually rejected by people. But in this process that they use, it's so all-encompassing, people usually don't even know what's being done to them. And what we're looking into is the total transformation of society. And what it means for education is that we no longer see the teaching of facts or information as the primary purpose of education. What we are looking for is that children must prepare not for today's society, but for society in the future, 20, 30, 40 years down the road. And so what they're trying to do is anticipate and have a predetermined outcome for social change, and they're going to achieve this function through the schools. And this future vision of a world society is based on humanistic principles, and it's completely and totally embedded in the public school curriculum. And the goal is to divorce America from its Christian roots and use the force of federal law to pursue this.
And, of course, this is really why they took God and prayer out of the schools. They wanted, of course, to destroy the faith of our children. By destroying the faith of their children, they'd leave them with this sense of sort of helplessness and hopelessness. And then, of course, they could be reprogrammed with these new ideas. These old, outmoded Christian ideas had to be done away with. So they took any mention of prayer and God and Christmas and Easter and anything that had to do with the Christian history of America out of our society. We couldn't even have the Ten Commandments published in our schools. We can have them published in the Supreme Court building. They can open the Supreme Court when the choir comes in and says, God save the United States and this honorable court. What he should say is this dishonorable court, because those Supreme Court justices know that the real purpose behind, of course, taking God and prayer out of our schools was to destroy the faith of our children, and then of our people, and then of our nation. But go right ahead.
Well, actually, you know, school of prayer was taken out in 1962-63 in Engle versus Vitale, and, of course, the Ten Commandments were taken out of America in 1980 in a case called Stone v. Graham. And if your listeners recall Judge Roy Moore, the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, who tried to post the Ten Commandments in the State House and how he was told he couldn't do so, not by state people, but by federal people.
And that was the Bush administration. I think everybody's forgotten it was George Bush and his administration that was pushing the effort to destroy and discredit Roy Moore for daring to want to have the Ten Commandments simply in the lobby of the state court building, the Supreme Court building.
Well, and then I want to skip over to a gal by the name of Dr. Shirley McCune,
right,
who worked on the Governor's Conference on Education in Wichita, Kansas in 1989. And some of the speakers that were at that conference were Lamar Alexander, who was on the President's Advisory Council.
Wasn't he the Secretary of Education under the Reagan administration?
Yes. And if you read some of the excerpts of what she said that what's happening in America today is simply not a chance situation in the usual winds of change. What it amounts to is a total transformation of our society. We have moved into a new era.
Of course, this did not happen by accident. She knew exactly what was happening. So did Lamar Alexander. So did all the people in Reagan's, of course, Department of Education. but we could not let the American people know what was happening. The transformation of a society, and people wonder why America's changes, why our values have changed, why our relations, hymns have changed in the church, the music of the church has changed, even the message, the Christian message of the church has changed. When was the last time you went to church and your minister said, you know, we're all sinners, and of course that's why we need a Savior? We don't want to talk about that anymore. People don't like to think that they're sinners. People like to think that, well, we've got lots of self-esteem. Boy, our kids have more self-esteem than any of the kids in the whole world. The only trouble is they can't compete with them in competitive examinations. Well, Dr. Stan Mitchell, you go ahead, or Michelle, whichever one of you wants, go ahead, go right ahead.
Well, I'll start out here, and then I'll hand it off to Michelle.
All right.
Of course, Dr. Shirley McKeown went on to say that there are only two things that really matter. One is the information capital that we can put together, and the other is to produce human resource capital. If you want to transfer this idea over to the church, you'd listen to Rick Warren talk about knowledge workers. And so there's a direct relationship between what's happening in education and what's happening in the church. And then Shirley McKeown went on to say that during the past 10 years, we've been going through a reform movement. And she was talking about since 1979, because she spoke this in 1989. And it was the reform movement to begin with the governors of this nation. Their concern was to understand the very close relationship between the economic development and human capital. And we have to understand that the task before us is to begin thinking about restructuring education without understanding what our total society is in a crisis, in a restructuring process. You can't get away from it. You can't go into business and hide from the fact that we are facing a total restructuring of society. And that includes all of the curriculum that they were bringing into the nation at that time through the education reform process. And it's about creating learning communities and in a holistic fashion. And this holistic fashion is another New Age concept that was derived from a person by the name of Agnes Sanford. And this process just goes on and on and on throughout all education, and now it's rampant in the churches. And I think if I had Michelle come on now, I think she could probably fill in some of the particulars in these areas.
All right, you put Michelle on there. Hi, okay. Michelle. Are you coming on there? Michelle? You go right ahead.
And
you go right ahead.
I would like to tell your listeners, too, that if they would like to research this some more, you've had a speaker on before, and it's Lighthouse Trails.
Right.
And it's lighthousetrailsresearch.com.
Right, lighthousetrailsresearch.com. That's Deborah Dombrowski's organization. We, of course, have a number of people from there, Ray Youngen and Warren Smith and the others, who all are trying to get the American people to understand what's happening. And the average individual has no idea, but you
no
go
idea.
Right ahead.
And then another one would be Barrett Chose.
Right.
I think that you feature her on your links.
Right.
And that's Crossroad 2. It's www.crossroad2. Another one is Heroscope, and it's a play on the word heresy. It's HERESCOPE, and then it's .blogspot.com.
Hold that thought for just a moment, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Michelle was telling us that if you really want to get more information, you'd want to go to some websites. One of them is lighthousetrails.com. Is that right, Michelle?
Yes.
Lighthousetrails.com. Another is to Barrett Chose at .to. That's for Tonga. So, I'm sorry, what is her?
It's Crossroad. Well, it's crossroad.to.
Crossroad.to. T-O for Tonga. So crossroad.to for Tonga. And what was the other one?
It's Heroscope, H-E-R-E-S-C-O-P-E.
Heroscope dot what?
Blogspot.com.
Blogspot.com. And ladies and gentlemen, the information's out there. You've just got to get it, and you've got to understand it. We get the Lighthouse Trails all the time. We get something from there every week, and they're Now, they are doing such a great job of getting the information out. You need to get the books we carry by Ray Young, woman books by Warren Smith, and I'm sure you're well acquainted with those. And they're simply trying to point out what's happening in our churches today. And people know something's wrong, but see, they like everybody in the church, and everybody's, seems to be so happy. But of course, something's wrong because our society reflects what's going on in the church. And what's going on in the church is certainly is not healthy because society is not healthy. So go right ahead.
Well, what I found, too, is that, like, when your kids are going to school now, in a lot of school districts, your kids are learning yoga in the classroom. And they're back 15 years ago, they were trying to bring in the visualization techniques and, different things that go contrary to God's word, values clarification, situational ethics. I remember, I'm 54. I remember being in high school in an honors English class, and we were doing the lifeboat scenario. And now you have television shows like Survivors that it is a lifeboat scenario right on television. And I think I was a resistor back then, Dr. Stan, because when I was in the class and we were supposed to decide who was going to live and who was going to die, I said, this is a dumb game and we don't have to, no one has to die. And so this has been going on for a long, long time. It's not something that has just been brought in the last 10 years. This has been a process that's been, kind of bubbling.
Well, of course, they call this situational ethics, There's a lifeboat, there's room for eight people, and you got two pregnant women and a priest and maybe an old minister or something like that. Who are going to throw overboard? And that's really what they are asking our children, to make these life and death decisions. Well, why would you want to do that to a child? Why? Because he becomes a determinant of rights of right and wrong. God doesn't determine, it's wrong to throw somebody overboard. You make that decision. Once you start making these decisions as a 10 or 12-year-old kid, suddenly it changes your whole outlook. Mm-hmm. Because now, of course, you're not answerable to God. You're answerable to yourself and what you think. Go right ahead.
Well, as in education where kids have been dumbed down because they haven't been learning facts and information, now this process is going into the church, and our kids, what I found in different Sunday school situations and whatnot, through the curriculum and whatnot, our kids are being dumbed down in the curriculum. Not every church is like this, of course, but basically people do not know God's word. And so when they're sitting in church, what will happen is that when a change agent type pastor is brought in, then you will have people that are traditional in their thinking, and they'll be sitting there and they'll listen to the sermon, and the pastor may give part of a Bible verse. And to someone that's thinking in a traditional mindset, they will finish the verse in their mind. Someone that's transitional will have a bigger problem in one, and then the people that don't even have a clue, because they're bringing in so many of the unchurched, then you just have a mishmash of people. And what happens is that, the pastors can pretty much bring in a lot of this false teaching. And we are warned over and over in God's Word against false teachers, against false teaching. I would encourage anyone to take their Bible, open it up, go to 1st and 2nd Peter, the whole chapter of Jude, and you can read and read and read about where you're being warned and warned. Acts 20, 29 and 30 is another good example.
And of course, one of the things that really gets to me is that they have all these different translations of the Bible, and every new one comes out gets further away from the original text, and they tell us that the Bible is the Word of God, but they're all different. How could God have the Word of God be so different and in conflict? And they're doing that to confuse the Christians. Mm-hmm. The Christians don't understand. They're playing games with their minds.
Right. Well, I teach fourth grade, and so all the kids would bring a different version to class. And so finally, I just went upstairs, and I collected all the Bibles, and I brought them down, and I said, okay, we're going to start reading out of one edition. And that way they were able to pay attention. They were able to follow along, and they were actually learning But the new translations, they get weaker and weaker. In fact, the latest phase is this Message Bible by Eugene Peterson.
Right.
And it's terrible.
And because this is what Rick Warren uses over and over and over again. I mean, his message is the purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church. And he uses predominantly the message which has very little to do with Christianity. It's somebody's feeling about the Bible. And yet, of course, it is being presented as the Word of God. It's
mm-hmm.
not the Word of God at all. It is a heresy. In fact, there are many New Age phrases and terminology used in there. You know,
exactly.
New Age they've distorted the Lord's Prayer. They've distorted everything worthwhile. And yet, this is being used in so many of our churches today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say exactly, have people compare the Lord's Prayer, say, in the King James or with the Message Bible, and you will see just blatant error. One of the reasons, too, that I, when I was researching this, Eugene Peterson is involved with Rick Warren quite extensively. He's also involved with Richard Foster, Dallas Willard. There's quite a few of them that are involved with, it's called Renovare. Have you done a program on that?
No, I haven't.
Well, anyway, they seem to all link up together, and then they, of course, write all these books, and then they endorse each other's books, and they make lots of money off of everybody's books. And I don't know. You know, it just seems like the big question is, whose God is God? And, you know, God has revealed that trusting in anything other than Christ and His Word is evidence of deception. And when you follow along with these different traditions and opinions and philosophies of men, you can go anywhere. And I just encourage my kids to be in God's Word so that they can be discerning.
Amen. Well, that can be the only foundation of our belief. It's not who the minister is, who's the funniest or the most dynamic or the most forceful. What does God's Word say? That's what, of course, is not being stressed today. And we become followers of men rather than followers of our Lord, without realizing that many of these men have a different agenda and a different worldview. Go right ahead.
Well, when I was researching the Emerging Church, what happened was that in our church, we were in a conservative Bible church, and we were, you know, pretty much happy and whatnot. And we started noticing some different changes. We just had a new pastor that came in, and my mom had cancer, and I kept running back and forth over to Seattle, and so I wasn't really, I was lazy. I was lazy. And so what happened was that after she passed away, we decided that we were going to get back into church on a more, you know, like a, just get into church a little bit more and go to the classes and whatnot. And my husband was in a class with, it was on Bob Buford leadership, I think it was halftime. And then I was taking a class on spiritual formation, which I found appalling, and then with Richard Foster and Dallas Willard and whatnot. And then our daughter was down in the youth group, and they were doing the Rob Bell Numa videos. And all of these things are promoted, of course, through the Christian bookstores and whatnot. But my dad always gave me some wisdom, and he said, Michelle, if you're going to read a book, what you need to do is go to the back, and you want to find out who influenced the writer. And so that's what I did. And I went to the back of Celebration for the Disciplines, and I went to our pastor, and I said, listen, why are we using this book? And it was filled with Christian mystics and different people that I'd never even heard of. And then in the Numa videos, I had some problems, and I looked at Rob Bell, and I was appalled. And then in the halftime, that was Peter Drucker and the Bob Buford series with Leadership Network and TQM. So we had it going on in all areas. And so what we did is we politely asked some questions, and we went to the leadership, and we said, okay, surely there must be a mistake. And that's when we found out that pretty much everything was, you know, they'd been trained in it. And at that point, I don't know, I think you just have to, you know, just go ahead and leave. But we had been there for quite a while, and we had, of course, we, you know, knew lots of people and whatnot. And we just thought, okay, well, there's got to be an error here. And so we just kept giving him more and more information. Well, pretty soon we found ourselves out on the sidewalk. We were asked to, they disfellowshipped us. That's what happened. And so this is found in the toolboxes. If you go onto Rick Warren's website and you go to pastors.com, you go to the various toolboxes, it will say that if there are pillars in your church, you have to pretty much get rid of them because they will just hold you up.
The pillars hold up the church, so you get rid of the pillars. And, of course, that's what they're doing. When you do that, the whole thing crumbles. That's what they want. They want to transform religion. They know what they're doing. Is it a Christian approach to, you know, throw people out of the church? And yet that's what they really do. And people, the average person, doesn't know. And, of course, it's almost like a cult, you know. Suddenly somebody's gone, but you better not begin asking questions or you'll be asked to leave, too.
Mm-hmm. What a sad, sad thing, and that doesn't go with Scripture at all. You know, Christ is the great shepherd. He told us that, you know, he would go after the one sheep, you know, the one sheep that was lost.
Right.
So, anyway, what I ended up doing is then I was researching links to the Emerging Church because I kept running into these different people, and I followed a PBS series that was from probably 2 years ago, and then I went to all the different links and resources. And to understand the emerging purpose-driven models, then of course you have to research Peter Drucker and Bob Buford, Leadership Network, and TQM, because it is three-legged stool. And then I started researching it's Kingdom Now Theology, Apostolic Reformation, C. Peter Wagner, and that's we also had links to the World Mission Perspectives, because there's a new word instead of missions. Now the new word is called missional. And what happens is that a lot of your good missionaries are being sent home. Those are the ones that are teaching God's word. And in come all the new volunteers from Rick Warren's program and the Peace Program, so that they can, you know, come in with a purpose-driven book and pass it out instead of God's word. And it's called a contextual redefinition. And that's where...
societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're gonna start taking this hemp, I say. Go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made, go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we hope you enjoyed our conversation with Mitchell and Michelle Wright. We do have, of course, the books by Ray Youngen. Ray Youngen, Y-U-N-G-E-N, Warren Smith are available by calling 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have a 4-tape set on the church growth movement. We have a DVD called Diaprax, D-Y-A-P-R-A-X, going into the background of the church growth movement. You must understand how these ideas of Peter Drucker, first in the corporate world, then in government, then, of course, in education, and finally in the church, got us to where we are today. So the DVD is Diaprax, D-I-A-P-R-A-X, the 4-tape set, the church growth movement, and then, of course, the books by Ray Youngen and Warren Smith. If you'd like one of our catalogs, why, certainly we'll be glad to send it to you. We'll send it to you on CD, unless you specifically request a written one. Then go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com, where, of course, you can get the various material that we have. You can see them all in 4-tape sets and videos and books. You need to have the information. You need to understand what's going on. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. If you've not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or seen the CD or the DVD by that title, you need to get it. If you can't afford it, go to our website and just click on our DVDs, and you can watch the whole DVD. We have it posted there because we want people to see it one way or the other. And it's free of charge. You can watch it there for nothing. Certainly, we hope that you'll get our talk on the forbidden secret, because there is a forbidden secret that's been suppressed for 5,000 years. And we tell you that secret. And, of course, it's being brought out increasingly today, which convinces me we're approaching the end times. And then, of course, my talk on the planned police state. And with that comes the syllabus. You'll want to get the syllabus because it has some of the material that's put out by people on the other side, people who worship the other God. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, this is what it's really all about. And until you understand the foundation of Gnosticism and how it's carried forward into the Rosicrucian movement, the Theosophy, and the New Age, and yes, even the Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderbergers, Trilateral Commission, Club of Rome, the myriad of organizations, you can't understand what's happening today.
Are victims of identity theft each year. The crime of identity theft occurs every 3.5 seconds, costing the victims an average of $8,000. If you own a PC, passwords are a common form of authentication and often the only protection between a hacker and your personal information. Passwords that are stored in a spreadsheet, text file, data file, or any other file that is not encrypted and password protected are vulnerable to malicious theft and misuse. With Password Safe Pro, your passwords can be secured in an encrypted data.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.